Good morning. You're in tune with What It Is on WNCW. Today, we're talking about the Beatles. I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Jeff Eason, Carol Rifkin, and Bob Hinkle. 40 years after the breakup of the Fab Four, the Beatles are back on the charts. They have remastered all of their recordings in mono and stereo. There's a new video game. There is a new Cirque du Soleil all about the Beatles as well.
Well, it's kind of, a lot of people didn't know it at the time because Let It Be hadn't even been released yet, but John Lennon had basically told his partners in crime there that he and Yoko Ono were going on the long and winding road away from the Beatles, and that was 40 years ago this month, and it was only later that Paul McCartney kind of betrayed him because they all said that they would keep this a secret until Let It Be had been released and they were done with some financial doings. But then a few months later, Paul McCartney decided he would make it public because he had a solo album that he wanted to release. Now, 40 years hence, they're back in the news and stronger than they ever were. It seems like every few years there's some big doings with the Beatles. And right now, the big thing is the video game, which you can get on Wii or Xbox or Nintendo 360. So it's kind of all across the board. And it's a Beatles rock band. And like you were saying before, it's not necessarily selling as hot as they thought it would.
If you want the whole thing with the new rig and like your custom Paul McCartney guitar and whatnot, it's $250, which is a good bit of money, but you could add it into your existing rock band setup and just add the songs for far less money. So a lot of people are doing that, and it begs the question of, is the rock band phenomenon sort of playing itself out too?
Well, it makes me wonder. The Beatles, a lot of the music that people really love about the Beatles aren't necessarily things that they played live. They stopped playing live fairly early in their career and kind of became a studio band with, you know, John and Paul playing piano or keyboards a lot with string sections. And some of their most famous songs are not suited for the guitar, bass, drum setup that you would need to play this game.
Yeah. I also, just another aspect of it, I was talking earlier before we went on here about the fact that the Beatles didn't get signed until, I believe it was their 10th try. Got turned down more than once by a couple labels, and I'm sure that a lot of people have been, a lot of people my age and elder, have been kicking themselves for quite some time now. But it should also give a lot of people heart who are out there trying to, you know, trying to get it together.
Ted Geisel, Dr. Seuss, he pitched his stuff over and over and over. Like, he got something like 100 rejections before he got published.
An interesting sideline to the Beatles, if you look at the big picture overall, is the long-term effect they have had on fashion and graphics, I think, in the art world. Their album covers, have influenced graphics across the board for a really long time, particularly now with all that being in vogue right now. But if you look at the whole Carnaby Street and the whole thing, everybody wanted a Beatle haircut, and you know it went out of vogue for a while. But right now, if you look at the fashion and style, right, people are wearing those suits and hippie clothes, and they're on top of their game and have come around in, as fashion statements as well.
That's true. It was very daring at the time, too, because, I mean, it was not that far removed from World War II, and there was a huge anti-war sentiment, particularly among their fans, and they were wearing these kind of loud-colored versions of military uniforms on Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So they were really out there for the time.
They started out pretty tongue-in-cheek, though. I mean, it seems like initially they started out awfully puppy dog cute. Their costumes were tongue-in-cheek, and then it became very seriously political, but I don't recall that they started that way.
Mm-hmm. I remember the first time the Beatles came to New York City when they first landed. I went to play Shea Stadium, among other things, and the city went nuts. I mean, it was like the Mets winning the World Series. Literally, that's the closest thing I can think of. There was a DJ on then WABC radio, AM radio, named Scott Muni, who became the voice of that day somehow. And their ratings were, I don't know what the hell they were that day, but their ratings were over the top. And Scott Muni was with them and broadcasting every time someone lifted their hand or waved out of the car. The great comparison that I would make was all that footage you see of when World War II was over in Times Square. It was literally about like that. It was amazing.
Well, you know, getting back to the video game, I really have mixed feelings of it because I'm such a big Beatles fan. You know, on one hand, I really applaud any video game that kids play where you don't blow stuff up or carjack some grandnanny or put a bullet in some cop's head. You know, so I'm glad that these kids are gravitating towards these rock band video games. But I would emphasize that no matter how many times you push that button on that controller that looks like a guitar, you are getting no closer to actually learning how to play guitar.
Yeah, what's with that?
I don't know, but if they spent as much time and energy with an actual guitar, you know, the streets would be lined with Jimi Hendrixes by now.
I know, what's with that? They could have so easily also insidiously taught everyone to play guitar, but instead, when I tried it, I was like, what is this? It bears no relationship. I would bet real guitar players must totally hate that game.
Oh, yeah, we
do. In some ways, I've heard that it is a little bit harder than playing a real guitar. Now, you can't relate them. They are apples and oranges, but I've played rock.
I couldn't play it.
I've played Rock Band, and I can't play guitar at all, but it's not easy to do. It's not the easiest thing to master, for what it's worth.
Right.
Well, the Beatles are also in the news because they have all of their albums remastered right now, their 13 studio albums plus Yellow Submarine, the soundtrack to that. And I hear that they include a lot of extras, like some video that have like the behind the scenes during the recording process and things like that that might be of interest to Beatle fans new and old.
And the remastered sets of all of the Beatles records are the 14-disc complete sets, mono and stereo, for the whole enchilada, if you can find one. The Box of Vision, which is the pièce de résistance for Beatles collectors everywhere. I would absolutely love to get hold of one of those. Why don't they send one to WNCW? Somebody out there, help us get the Box of Vision to WNCW, and we'll thank you on the air.
I think that's great, but I'm really happy with my old, ratty old vinyl of, you know, a Rubber Soul. I'm really pleased about that, still having it.
Well, you know, the amazing thing to me is I have a niece that, and she is in fifth grade, Eliza, at Parkway Elementary School. That's my little shout out to Eliza and the fifth graders at Parkway Elementary School. Go Patriots. But she loves the Beatles, and her friends all love the Beatles. And it seems like no matter how far you get from the inception of this music, there's going to be another generation to embrace that music. And it makes me wonder where that's going to end. Or will their music be like Mozart's music, you know, to where it is listened to 500 years hence? What do you think?
I have a feeling you might be right. Not in the same way, because Mozart is Mozart and the Beatles are the Beatles, and they came around in different circumstance. But I've got a feeling you might be right, just because my kids, who are now pretty old, have went through a Beatles period for 3-4 years, and young kids that I'm saying, just like you just were saying, are also going through a Beatles period. The period seems to change, seems to vary up and down from when they get into it, when they get out of it. But I think you might be right.
I'll throw this analogy out at you. Name some of the great explorers in world history.
Vasco da Gama.
Magellan.
Amerigo Vespucci.
All right, so fairly early on in the history, it's easy to remember those sorts of names. The Beatles are like those world explorers in music. You may have folks that could potentially be better explorers on down the road, but I guarantee you that they won't ring as true as the name and the music of the Beatles.
Their lyrics have a simplicity to it, though. I mean, if you think about it, like Little Girls, He Loves Me, Yeah, Yeah, Yeah. I mean, there's something there for everybody. There's the simple early stuff that the kids loved, and then there's the more complex stuff of the later years. It's relatable music, and there's nothing in it that doesn't transcend. There's no technology that makes it dated. You know, they're not talking about their 8-track tape or their iPod or something that would date it to an era. Most of their lyrics, if you think back, relate on a very simple level that could transcend, I think.
It's funny you should mention that, because I just watched this fabulous new documentary about the making of the Cirque du Soleil show, Love, in Las Vegas, which is based on the music of the Beatles. And a portion of that is an interview with Paul McCartney, and he was saying that he thought one of the reasons that the Beatles' music has been timeless thus far is that they concentrated on peace and love. You know, those were the big themes, and they didn't get into the specific aspects of the day. You know, they weren't mentioning the Vietnam War by name. They weren't mentioning whoever the prime minister was at that time.
There you have it. The Beatles, 40 years after the fact. For what it is, I'm Joe Kendrick, joined by Carol Rifkin, Jeff Eason, Bob Hinkle. Email us whatitis@wncw.org.